This is George King from WHUS Radio. On June 30th, 2002, I attended the Democracy Rising rally at the New Haven Coliseum. At this event, I was volunteering with the Independent Media Center, which was broadcasting a live web stream of the day's speeches and entertainment. One of the highlights of the day was our interview with actor and comedian Janeane Garofalo. She was one of the performers at the Democracy Rising rally, and after her comedy routine, she stopped by the IMC webcasting station. The host of the webcast was Rupert from the Washington, D.C. Independent Media Center. He began the interview by asking Ms. Garofalo what she thought about how her stage performance went.
I actually have no idea how it went because it's hard to, I couldn't really see anyone and you can't really tell if people enjoy it or not. Plus I said the F word, which I don't know if that was allowed.
Oh.
So.
That's okay. What was that F word again?
Frontage. Frontage Road.
Well, as you can see here, we have this little chat IRC thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out there who really are big fans. And,
oh, that's nice.
And like what you're up to. So, let me ask you this.
Sure.
What would you say about voting? And, I mean, you know people don't vote in this country.
Right.
But how do you think people should take that? I mean, you've seen a lot of different faces of Hollywood and this sort of elitist culture, perhaps, that we don't really see. Do they perceive any kind of civic participation as a part of their lives?
I think that the reason there's a lot of people in entertainment who are sometimes involved in civic or social programs is because our government doesn't get involved in civic or social programs, so people know that it's important to take a recognizable face to get people galvanized and interested to do other things. So it's not like the celebrity is sitting there thinking, boy, I'm important. I should be asked to do this. It's because the government doesn't galvanize people, and they cut social programs, or they cut funding for different political things, so that they say, well, I'm going to get, you know, Sharon Stone to speak for AMFAR. I'm going to get, Robert Downey Jr. to speak on behalf of the Democratic Party. So I don't know that it's necessarily inherent that a person in entertainment makes it part of their life, but I think it falls. They are asked to do it by people. Because there's no way to sort of for I'm not being very articulate right now, but there's no way for a lot of people to get access to a lot of information because the mainstream media doesn't give you access to a lot of information.
So we're involved in indie media here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from the DC Indie Media Center. Do you listen there, or are you aware of the indie media movement as its current sort of incarnation?
Am I aware of the indie media movement in the grand context, or I mean this in particular your indie media movement? I don't use a computer. I'd hate to admit it, but I'm a bit of a neo-Luddite. I do not use a computer, and people don't believe me when I say that. So I'm not familiar with any sort of
computer movement. You know, that's okay.
I like to read regular books and write things longhand.
So, what kind of recommendations would you give to teenage women who are just starting out in vocalizing their opinions politically and things, about give them sort of that oomph that they might need to say, okay, screw all of this, I'm not going to stay shut up anymore? Because we've got a lot of those kinds of folks, men and women, young boys and girls, who are silenced.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this advice would go to both genders, you know what I mean? But women have an even tougher road to hoe in being politically active, in that they have to fight to be taken seriously and to be heard. I think young women need to really assert themselves, and young men too, but young women in our country are treated as second-class citizens for the most part. And I think that they really need to find their strength and their voice at a young age and try very hard not to care about other people's negative opinions of what they have to say. You know, I think women also need to get away from the cultural constraints of aesthetics. You know what I mean? Like, they have to ignore how the media says you have to look, and all that they need to be concerned is with what they have to say. Just don't worry how you look. Just worry about what you say, because don't buy the media beauty myth. Don't even worry about that. Just make yourself cerebral and just worry about the life of the mind. Don't worry about your physical appearance.
What kind of projects are you working on now?
What kind of projects am I working on? Nothing.
What
am I up to right now? Just I've been on a stand-up tour for a year, so that'll be ending at the end of July. So that's what I've been doing.
What's the future look like for Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't know because my crystal ball is busted. I don't know. It's totally busted.
Well, what do you think of this rally? I mean, your experience. What do you think of this kind of thing?
Well, I think this kind of thing is great. I wish the mainstream media would cover it. I wish that there was more access to these types of things, and I wish that this was filled to capacity, and I wish that the Yale students were in session right now and that gay pride wasn't in conflict with this today, because I think that if Yale was in session right now and gay pride parades weren't going on right now, this place would be totally full. But I just wish that these things weren't the rarity. I wish they weren't the exception. I wish they were the rule. I wish that Ralph Nader's message and Jella Biafra's message and Amy Goodman's message was out there constantly in the mainstream and not just the alternative media.
I have a question. A lot of people say that people in the alternative media and the left in general talk to the choir. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the argument phrased, not so much the talking to the choir, but that the megaphone isn't big enough. Mm-hmm. As somebody who's involved in media as a profession, do you have any ideas on how that megaphone can be made larger?
Well, it's true. The voices of the left tend to preach to the converted because that's a natural. There's a natural attraction there that like minds are going to gravitate towards one another. Unfortunately, the conservative voices and the voices for the right have a forum, a public forum, constantly. You know, the Fox News Network, Rupert Murdoch's Fox News Network, very conservative, and the mainstream media. That is a myth about the liberal media. There is no such thing as a liberal media. There is a media, and there's a woefully inadequate media, and there is a conservative media, and that's about the extent of it. And I don't know what the answer is, because it would have to be like a Road to Damascus style conversion on everyone's part within the media to give a voice to the left. And for some reason, most people in the media are unwilling to do that. The corporate owned interests are unwilling to do that. So I wish I knew the answer to that. So
much time you have, but if we were to really change corporate media, what kind of tactic would you suggest? That you've maybe brushed up against corporate media and their way they operate in a different way than we have. Is there another angle or tactic really for making them recognize the value of cable access, community media?
You never know which came first, the mediocrity or the desire for the mediocrity, chicken or the egg scenario. You know, I always wonder, like, if you gave people access to Noam Chomsky, would they want more Noam Chomsky instead of giving them access to only Bill O'Reilly, and then therefore they want Bill O'Reilly? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a completely unknown factor. Like, I think if you gave people access to progressive liberal ideals, they would gravitate towards them, but they don't get that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's the average person has no access to liberal progressive ideas, so they wouldn't even know how to discuss it with you if you wanted to, because they would have no tools to do so. And but then again, if you say if they had that, would they keep wanting more of it? I don't know.
Yeah. So who do you currently admire in the world?
Gosh, so many people. I'm a Ralph Nader fan, George Carlin, Katha Pollitt, bell hooks, Alec Baldwin.
What's up with Alec Baldwin?
I just think he's hilarious and a great voice for the left. He's just really says some really important, funny things. I like Dennis Miller. I like Ellen DeGeneres. I like the people over at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. I like people at the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know what I mean? Like, I admire so many people work, nameless people that I don't know who they are. I just respect what they do.
A lot of people say that Americans aren't very politically active. Do you consider the kinds of, like, stand-up routine that you just did earlier today? And I actually saw you in Torrington when you were there, and you had your political and your social commentary. Do you figure that might be your strongest suit in terms of activism?
I would say it's the one I'm comfortable with, and I don't even know if people would consider it activism, because it's just me expressing myself. But I do feel a responsibility when I do stand-up live or even on television, but I don't do stand-up much on television, speak my mind and to say what I believe to be some of the things that are dreadfully wrong with our mass media and our culture in general. And a lot of people in this current climate especially will accuse you of being unpatriotic. It's just, so I feel it's my responsibility to show that, no, what I'm doing is patriotic. What's going on here today is patriotic. If you're just blindly supporting the current administration, that's about as unpatriotic as it gets. To me, that's how I see it. So if that's activism, then yes, it is. But it's I don't feel comfortable like stumping or campaigning for someone, like getting out at a rally. Like, I really don't like, like, come on, vote for so-and-so. Like that kind of strident talking at people. Whereas I guess you could say stand-up comedy is like talking at people, but I feel like it's I don't know. Like, there's been a couple of people that work for certain candidates say, will you come out and speak at this, you know, at this thing, or get people to vote. And I feel really silly doing that for, like, a particular candidate on a day, like when they go at, like, a whistle stop tour or something. I just feel like a real goofball doing that, so.
So how did you survive the apathy disease?
How did I survive it? Well, I mean, how are we all surviving it?
Yeah, how, well, we're, I don't all, know how you did it. I don't know how I did it.
Well, you know, we're all part of the apathy disease. We're all part of it. We all live with it, and we either choose to not be apathetic or choose to be apathetic. You know, I consider it my responsibility to educate myself and read as much as I can about everything, and to educate myself about politics as much as I can. And unfortunately, with mainstream media, you're only getting this much of the story, a little tiny bit of the story. So I make it my responsibility to read all kinds of alternative press or listen to as much different types of radio as I can. But see, it's so little access. But I try and get books published on little alternative presses that, you know, if I hear that Noam Chomsky's speaking or Howard Zinn or The Nation is sponsoring some sort of seminar, I'll try and attend, you know, stuff like that. And, you know.
Right on.
Is that it?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. There's a link.
Well, I don't want to take too much of your time, but thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Janine Garofalo, an actor and comedian who appeared at the Democracy Rising rally in New Haven, Connecticut. The interview was conducted by Rupert from the Washington, D.C. Independent Media Center and by George King of WHUS Radio. Thanks for listening.